This morning's message is, will you trust the truth? We all go through seasons of life. Maybe you're in that season right now of the storm that hits. Maybe it's darkness. Circumstances in our lives where our faith struggles and we struggle to trust the truth. This morning we're referring to John 12, 37 through 47, 50. But in verse 37, I'm just going to start off with this. It says that even after Jesus had done all of these things, all of these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. They still would not believe in him. I can't help but pause and think about how many times I struggled to trust the truth in those stormy seasons. And the question I have to ask in this passage is, why wouldn't they believe? Why wouldn't they believe? Right? And the second question I have to ask is, what does it mean to believe? And as soon as I ask that question, I got to ask the more accurate question, and that is, what does it mean according to Jesus to believe? I mean, I can come up with my own definition of what it means to believe, but if it's different than Jesus's, then I'm always going to be wrong, right? So why won't they believe? What causes me not to trust the truth? I feel as though many times in storms, in darkness, we come to this moment where we are encased in this block of ice. Right? And then we hide behind this block of ice, not because we are trusting the truth, but precisely because we are believing the lies. We are believing the lies. In this passage, John 12, 37, after they had seen all these miracles, they still would not believe. They still would not believe. I think of John 6, 29 and 30, where it says this. Jesus says, the work of God is this, that you believe in the one God has sent. Right? What's the response of the people? Oh. So what sign, what miracle will you give us that we may see? So we will believe. I mean, if I were to phrase it up according to John 6:30, what will you do, Jesus? Oh yeah, I say that all the time. We all do. We struggle with that. And you know what's incredible is that it's easier for us to believe the lies than it is to trust the truth. Do you ever find that in your life? Maybe by the end of this message, you will start, like, maybe some things will start jogging into my mind. But when we believe the lies, our lives are ruined. And maybe this morning, you are sitting here living out the consequence of lies that we're still believing, that you're still believing, right? And it goes back to the Adam and Eve story, where Eve had a better plan than God, because we oftentimes do. And the thing that we struggle with is the question, is God God? And is God good? Because I, at times, in my circumstances, in your circumstances, I would much rather be God. Wouldn't you agree? And there's oftentimes I believe that I can better God's best. Because God just is either too busy, or he doesn't have my needs in mind, or he's out, I don't know. But I want to be God, and I want to better God's best, because it's just hard for me to believe or trust the truth. And so I honestly believe the lies. And when I believe the lies, God says, oh, Jeff, you're behind this. You're getting frozen up. Come out, right? And he comes into our lives in so many different ways. And he says, if only you would just believe the truth, Jeff. And I did this with the youth, the children this morning. But, I mean, he certainly could come in with a hammer and chisel into your life. Maybe you've seen God do that. Oh, yeah. And it hurts. Sometimes he comes in with a sledgehammer. Ah! Sometimes he'll come in like this. Maybe he's doing this to all of us right now. Oh, this is going to take forever. But don't go too fast, God. Because I don't want to break. And God says, okay. The nightmare is when we go, God, put the flame out, put the hammer and chisel away, no more sledgehammer, I'm done. And God says, oh, okay, I'll just sit here and wait. Yes, he does. Until you're willing to trust the truth. The people who said, what will you do for us? Oh, What more do you want me to do? He would say. I mean, we're talking about John 12 this morning, but if we were to revisit John right now, what are those incredible sayings that Jesus has already said in John already? Well, John 4, where he meets the woman at the well. Right? Amen. If you are thirsty, come to me and I will give you living water. And those who drink from me will never thirst. Right. He says it again later in John 7, right? If you're thirsty, come drink and I will give you living water. John 6, what about this? I am the bread of life. John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. If anyone comes after me and follows me, he will never walk in darkness. John 10, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. I give you eternal life. John 10, 23, I give you eternal life. And those who trust me will never perish. How many more sayings does he have to say? John 11, what about John 11 where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And those who live or those who believe in me will never die. Oh, he says it over and over and over and over. Now we're in John 12 and they still don't get it. We're what, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, 60, 70? We still struggle with it, right? Right? We still struggle to trust the truth. If I were to revisit John 12, it's one thing to hear words. It's a whole other thing to see it in action, right? So let's just do a revisit. John 2, Jesus turns the miraculous sign. Jesus turns water into wine. Did you see that, Jeff? Now do you trust me? Nope, I don't. Do it again. What will you do, Jesus? Okay, watch this. The woman at the well, John 4. What about the woman caught in adultery, John 8? I am going to love the outcasts and forgive them when nobody else does. Do you trust me? Nope, I don't trust you yet. What about John 6 when he goes and feeds the 5,000? Do you trust me yet? With what, 5 barley loaves, 2 fish? Do you trust me yet? No, I don't trust you yet. You got to do, what more will you do, Jesus? Because I can't trust you with my money. I can't trust you with my gifts. I can't trust you with my time. I can't trust you with my soul. There's certain things in my life that so I can trust you for my salvation, yes. But the day-to-day, the circumstances that I find, oh man, sometimes it's just so hard. Romans or John 11, where he raises the dead, Lazarus from the dead, in front of everybody and goes, okay, do you get it now? We struggle to trust the truth. This last Wednesday, I taught a men's Bible study down at Denny's. It was awesome. We went around. We took prayer requests. This person was praying for healing for a friend of theirs. This person was out of a job and looking to find a job. Money was tight. This person over here, they were traveling. So let's be praying for this. This person was trying to reach this family member. Let's be praying. All these prayer requests came around. I was teaching out of 1 Timothy 2, where Jesus is the mediator. And so I did a little exercise where pass out all these cards to everybody. And as I'm passing out the cards, I take off my hat and we take a little offering. And you had to put in, you know, anywhere from a penny to a dollar, fill the hat. And at the end of the morning, I said, okay, what card do you think is going to win the pot? Yep. Oh, ace high. Okay. Who's got the ace high? Would it surprise anybody to hear this morning that the person who raised their hand for prayer because they had no job received it? Right? What a powerful message that was. The value may not have been in a hat. The value was in the message that God sent that moment. Hey, I still got you. I know this is a scary time. There may be moments where you struggle to trust the truth, but remember, I've got this. I'm God, and I'm good, right? Right? But sometimes it gets so hard, and so we're behind this block of ice. Our faith is freezing over. What happens? And the question is, who am I going to listen to? The truth or the lies? Because the lies leave me stranded. It may feel more comfortable in that moment. I may be with people who are also either helping me believe the lies, or I may be with people who are believing the lies. But at some point, I have got to trust the truth. John 8:47 says it like this, and I just want to be really clear about these passages I'm going to refer to right now. John 8:47, Jesus says to the people around him, he who belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason why you don't hear is because you don't belong to God. Oh, that hits me right here. John 9, after Jesus heals the blind man, the Jews still would not believe that he was born blind and that he had received his sight. He comes back to them, the blind man comes back to the Jews and says, hey, I already told you, but you did not listen. John 24, 25, Jesus says this. The people actually ask him, say, how long will you leave us in suspense? If you really are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus says this, I did. You just won't believe. John 27, right after that, Jesus comes up and says, hey, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. What is so frightening is when we don't recognize the voice of God. And the only way you get to recognize the voice of God is if you spend time with him. His disciples recognized Jesus for who Jesus was. They were with him. They recognized his voice. The other people, I don't know. Can I trust that truth? It took the disciples 3 years with living with Jesus to recognize and follow the truth. Let's push this harder this morning. Because the one truth that we don't hear from God that absolutely devastates our lives is when, not when he says, hey, Jeff, how are you doing? It's this, Jeff, I love you. And he says it over and over and over. He says, I'll do this over here for you, and I'll do this for you. Jeff, I love you. I just love you. I wake up in the morning. I have the sun rise for you because I love you. Jeff, do you hear me? I love you. No. No. The lies. Where are the lies? Where are the lies? And it breaks his heart because what more can he do? The people go, yeah, what will you do? What will you do? And Jesus says, would it be good enough if I rose from the dead? No. What will you do now? What will you do tomorrow? What will you do? And he goes, ah. But you think about our lives. How we struggle in life with value and self-worth and forgiveness and grace. And I could go on and on because we just forget. We don't hear the voice of God says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Every single day. Put your hand over your heart right now. Every time it beats, I love you, I love you, I love you. You don't make your heart beat. I don't. Jesus does, right? Every breath I take, Jeff, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. We just don't hear it. He goes, you've got to hear my voice. Otherwise, you're done. Right. You're done. So the question is, am I leaving the lies or am I living the lies? Am I leaving the lies or am I living the lies? Because in John 12, 38 through 40, it goes on and says this. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, quote, Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and he's deadened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn and I would heal them. What? What? Because I feel as though maybe God's not helping me become unfrozen in this block of ice, my faith. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul writes, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Second Thessalonians 2. They perished because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. And so God sends a powerful delusion that they believe the lie. Romans 1. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor did they give thanks to him. It goes on and says, therefore, he gives them over to their sinful desires. Later, he goes on and says, because of this, he gives them over to shameful love. Furthermore, later in Romans 1, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gives them over a third time to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. It just continues to get worse and get worse and get worse. And God says, if you don't want to believe, if you want to go after the lies, if you don't want the truth, then go ahead, because it's just going to become hell for you. It's just going to become darker. The storms are going to grow for you. The consequences are going to be worse for you. And look at the society, the world, the civilization we live in today, the brokenness that's all around us. And we have these things in our own lives too. I do. That I just don't want to trust him with. Right? About a year ago, Pastor Brian and I and one of the former youth, we went over to Papua on a missions trip to visit one of our missionaries. An image here shows how beautiful it is. But once you get in the ground, we were out in the back swamps, middle of nowhere. You had to get flown in there by plane. It was beautiful, yeah, but we had these bugs, right? They just love to fly on top of you. And there I am trying to pick them off. Just flies and bees and flies. That's the way it is all day long. They just continue to fall and fly onto you. And this is another picture. It's even better. Yeah, look at Brian's expression, like, oh, don't get near me, right? I'm sure that's what he was thinking. And we, as we were finishing the project, we bumped into this guy. I felt really bad for him, right? Yeah, he was dead. He didn't make it. If the flies represent the lies that fly over our faith, which image looks like your faith? Which image looks like your soul? Because we all know that flies hover over dead things. How are you doing trusting the truth this morning? What lies need to be addressed in your life that are preventing you from experiencing the freedom that Jesus has for us? I may believe these lies out here, or out here, but the source of lies oftentimes comes through my passions. I really want it, so I'm not going to listen to the truth. Praise, it makes me feel really good, so I'm going to continue to receive the praise and not think about the lies that I'm receiving and not embracing the truth. What about the people around me, the pain that I suffer, that it's, I'm sure it's going to happen again if I trust the truth, so I'm not going to. What about my past? Because if it happened here, then it certainly will happen maybe again over here. What about my pleasures, the things I love, or the fantasies that I run after, that I buy into these lies instead of hold on to the truth? Or what about my fears? Because we all have fears. So the source of many of my lies comes maybe from my fears. Maybe the Father, because oftentimes it feels as though the Father in heaven lies to me, so I'm not going to trust God that he is good. You see, Jesus spent 3 years of his ministry preaching and teaching and praying about his Father, how good his Father is, how his Father will never leave him, he will never leave us. The miracles that Jesus does in his Father's name, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. And then it all comes to this crux, the hinge of everything. When Jesus is put on the cross and everybody's looking at him saying, certainly he will come off the cross because he's what, the great Messiah? Certainly the Father will come and rescue. Certainly if he's really the great Messiah, the Father will come and save him. And that day, it didn't look like he was the great Messiah. It looks like he was the great mistake as Jesus passed away. But while Jesus was on the cross, he looked out to the crowd and I couldn't imagine him saying anything else but this. Trust him. Trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. It doesn't matter if it's on Good Friday. It doesn't matter how dark the day is or how stormy it gets, how stormy the night gets. You've got to trust him. You just got to trust him. Because on day three, guess what? I rise from the dead. And everybody who put him on the cross was like, oh, shoot. Right? We crucified the Son of God. Right. Lies. As much as Jesus is trying to free us from these blocks of ice, we have lies that we trust and we believe in. I've gone ahead and presented a couple lies up on the screen. And as I believe these lies, we cool the frozen faith down. Everything that Jesus tries, like, oh, it's going to warm up. Come on, warm up. Come back, come back, come back. I believe these lies. Like that. So let's look at some of these lies. God's not God. God's not good. I am worthless, less worth and worth less. If I can't, then I won't. If I won't, then I can't. Is God making a mountain out of a molehill, or am I making a molehill out of a mountain? My failures define who I am. My failures define my past. My failures define my future. Therefore, my failures define who I am. I don't deserve grace or forgiveness, mercy, love. Therefore, I don't deserve God. I'm not wanted, needed, loved. Therefore, God doesn't want me, need me, or love me. What else could I have done? Trust you? I can't find peace, purpose, passion, presence. Therefore, I can't find God's peace, God's purpose, God's passion, God's presence. God doesn't care. Forgive or forget. Jesus didn't exist, Jesus didn't die, and Jesus didn't rise. Jesus isn't coming back. Heaven is going to be hell. Hell is going to be heaven. If God can't be love, then God can't be all-powerful. And if God can't be all-powerful, then God can't be love. Therefore, God can't be God. God's not good. God's not God. Look at this. What do you see? This morning, October 22nd, 10 o'clock. What do you see? God's nowhere, or God is now here? How do you respond? I had a ministry leader met with me a year ago, working with youth. He's like, Jeff, I just don't understand. I just feel as though God's just telling me, in this high school ministry, I need to come up with rocks. Rocks. Like these, right here. These river rocks. I don't understand why. I don't want to do this. It's kind of weird, awkward. I don't know why he would ever want me to do anything with river rocks. And then God says, continue to communicate to him. He goes, you know what? I think I'm supposed to transform these to something that looks like this. Small. And I'm going to put them on the prayer table in the back every Wednesday night. So that when a youth comes back and puts a prayer request, he can take one of these rocks so that he knows that we have a leadership team praying for them. Great. It's a crazy idea, he said. I don't know if it's going to be worth it. Let's see it. The first week out, student comes for the very first time. Had an experience with these rocks right here earlier in the day. He walks back for prayer. Doesn't know Jesus. What does he see? His life has now changed, and he's now serving in the church. That leader recently gave me this rock. I put it on the screen so you can see it. It says, Jesus is Lord. How cool is that? What a ministry that is. The back of every rock is signed with a message. Don't forget, you can trust the truth. You can trust the truth because God is good and God is God. In one of those darker moments in my life, we all go through them. I wrote a poem. I struggle with it because it's really dark. But it was incredibly powerful for me. So I was going to share it with you this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and read this poem. And then I'm going to give you some time to respond as Dawson comes up and shares a song with you. And during that song, I want you to go ahead and respond to the communion of the bread and the cup. After you wrestle with some of what we've been talking about this morning, specifically the lies that I'm holding on to, I would challenge you, wrestle with God over some of these things before you take communion. Reach out and grab a hold of that truth that maybe you're struggling to hold out on this morning. Find the victory in reaching out and saying, today I'm going to choose to trust in this area of my life. Because when I don't, when I believe the lies, it grows dark. This is called Death's Overture. Do you not see me? Do you not hear me? But you feel me. Every time you hurt and hide, every time you run and rage, and every time you quit and take, and for every mistake you make, I smile. You are powerless, shameful, alone, and a failure. And I'm the artist and the author that you don't see, who reminds you daily of who I wish you to be. All that you are, all that you have has been a waste. So I have convinced you that the memory of you will soon be erased. All that you give and all that you gave, no one gives thanks. So quit hiding behind your imagined strengths. Everyone sees that you are nothing but needful, naked, wanting, and weak. For you have nothing to offer for which we seek. The cause you are fighting for was defeated and dead long ago. And you don't have what it takes to resurrect it. So let it go. For I have placed my death seal on your deal. You are powerless, fearful, and your weakened attempts have died. Your best efforts make you out to look like a clown in a circus, simply entertaining spectators who will never be satisfied. Your contributions are useless, embarrassing, and get in the way. And so I whisper in your ear again and again until you hear what I say. You should be rejected, dejected, and ejected from among us so that you feel what I want you to feel, alone and on your own. Wake up! Those you thought loved you don't, and those you love don't care that you do, for I have lied and lied and I have lied to you. So quit your reaching and quit your trying. Quit your searching and quit your crying. For you will never find somebody who cares that you care. For I have deafened you to the one who died and did declare, I love you. I love you. I love you. Your life will be forgotten by the end of tomorrow, and your breath by the end of the day. You are powerless, shameful, fearful, and a failure. And I smile, for you always believe what I say. Spare us all, and free us from the burden of pretending that you matter. Spare us all, and help us free you, for I am dying to see you. Signed, Death. And so even in our darkest night, Jesus' love glows so bright that in those lyrics, though you no longer see them because it becomes so dark, you can't help but see the power of Jesus' love shine through that darkness. Will we trust the truth? Will we leave the lies? Because to believe in it, we must be willing to be living in it. We must be living it. In 2007, there was a Reveal study done with 1,000 churches here in the United States where they discovered this statistic that only 11% of the people in the church live in such a way that their faith propels their daily lives. Another study came to this conclusion. Conducted by an independent market research firm. And the secular company had no agenda other than to earn their fees by accurate analysis. This was presented in the work of Greg Hawkins and Callie Parkinson in their book, Move. What they discovered in a separate study raised the eyebrows of thousands of pastors. Here's the information. Nothing has a greater impact on spiritual growth and reflection on Scripture. If churches could do only one thing to help people at all levels of spiritual maturity grow in their relationship with Christ, their choice is clear. They would inspire, encourage, and equip their people to read the Bible. We're surrounded with lies from the news to the social media to the news feeds, from friends, coworkers, to the devil, to movies and music, all around us. And no wonder we struggle. Because even when we are in the Word, it's difficult for us to trust the truth. But the more truth I have in me, the freer I will find myself to be in Jesus. And my last point is this, is in order to trust truth, you must first taste it and test it. You must taste it and test the truth. To finish out, John 12 says this. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. The Pharisees just saw Jesus, but Isaiah in the Old Testament saw Jesus' glory and spoke about Jesus. Verse 42, yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but, and this is a but, a big but, capitalized but, B-U-T, but, because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only because, but only in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me, and I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. But you see, because of their fear, they hid behind the blocks of ice, and their faith continued to freeze back up. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean for Jesus to believe? In this passage that I just finished reading, they were fearful of the crowd, fearful of the consequences, and they went after the world's favor, not Christ. But if we're going to trust the truth, we must be fearless of the consequences. We must confess our faith. Isaiah saw and he spoke. And what we must pursue Christ's favor rather than the world's. Holding trusting the truth, Jesus pulls us through the most difficult storms. Don't stay in the storm. Keep coming. As if he were to take a bright light into this block of ice. And he shines it in to me who's behind. And he says, Jeff, I'm right here. Unfortunately, this block of ice distorts our view of everything and anything, including him, including trusting the truth. It distorts our view. And he says, you can trust me, Jeff. Push through. Reach out to me because I am reaching into you and the ice is melting. The question is, what will you do? What will I do with the lies that I'm holding on to? Not too long ago, I performed a wedding up in Wenatchee. It was a very idyllic scene with the river running right behind the ceremony. It was gorgeous. And the bride and the groom, the groomsmen, bridesmaids, all standing, the audience right there. We did the vows already, and now we were up to the ring ceremony. So I asked for the rings, and I took the rings. Before I did the ring ceremony, I took the rings off the pillow. I held them in my hand, and we had just read from Ruth 1:16, where it says, Ruth says to Naomi, don't you dare urge me to turn around. Don't you dare distance yourself from me. For where you go, I go. Where you stay, I will stay. I looked at the bride and said, do you believe that about the man you're about ready to marry? I do. I looked at the groom and I said, do you believe that about the bride you are about to marry? I do. And in that moment, I took those rings and I took one big step forward and I looked back over my shoulder, threw them into the river. And I looked at her and said, will you follow your husband to be into the river after your rings? Dead silence. The same silence we have when Jesus says, Jeff, will you trust the truth? At that moment, the maid of honor produces the real rings. And how often did God does that to us? Henrietta Mears, Sunday school teacher, Hollywood Press, pillar of the church in America in the 20th century, impacted men such as Billy Graham, author. When asked, at the end of your life, would you do anything different? And she says this, Yes. I would have trusted Christ more. This morning, as the worship band comes up, may you trust Christ. And may He wipe away the lies.